Oversight Committee meeting. Let the record reflect that all members are present with the exception of Ms. Giannini. Dan, will you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Today, we're going to review the way the city spent the funds that were generated by the 0.5% sales tax increase that the voters passed in the fall of 2006. Our job is to ensure that the money was spent in a way that was consistent with the promises that were made to the voters, specifically that the money would only be used for police, fire, streets, and storm drains. Our mission is to only review the money, how the money was spent. Decisions about how the money will be spent in the future are the responsibility of the staff of the City Council. Do any members of the committee have any comments or announcements?
No.
Members of the audience wishing to address the committee can do so now. Seeing no one, I close public comment. We'll now move to the consent calendar. Does any committee member want to make any corrections to the minutes from our January 23rd meeting to approve the minutes? Seeing none, can I have a motion to approve the minutes from our January 23rd meeting?
I'll move to approve the minutes from the January 23rd, 2014 meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0. Next is new business. Mrs. Slayton, item B1.
Thank you very much, Chairman Alexander and committee members. This item is the review of the 2013-14 transactions for the district transaction tax, most commonly known as Measure Q. And all the reports have been provided, and if the committee members have any questions, please let me know.
Do you want to start with the question, Barbara?
Sure.
Okay, in general, I just had a few specific questions. I think I understand the numbers and the transactions now. Can you elaborate just a little bit on, I had questioned some of the bank reconciliation adjustments listed on page 28 of the accumulated transaction listing. And I see your answer here. Can you elaborate on that a little bit for the benefit of everybody?
Sure. Thank you, Member Spagnola. With the bank reconciliations, that's the time when we're able to find the transactions that have happened that didn't pass through the city. They go as ACH payments, and that's how the USDA operates the payments on the certificates of participation. So when the bank reconciliations are done, they're done as a group, and it's to be more expedient with our processes, we do one journal entry each, you know, for each activity as much as possible. I mean, so that we're not, you know, writing one journal entry for 5 cents because we had a variance. We want to put them all together. And so with that, we have the ability to put one description. And so it says bank reconciliation. They really are the interest payments that came out in March for the two certificates of participation that funded as well in March. And then, of course, the September payments, we actually looked at those separately only because it's the way our timing is for the year end and the beginning of the new year. So year-end takes precedence all the way through into October, even into November. and then we go back and we do our cleanups, we might do that as a separate cleanup item, which you'll notice with the September journal entry for the USDA loans, it specifically says USDA interest, USDA principal, but for the March ones, they say bank reconciliation. It's the same thing, just a different way of doing it based on time.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Then the second part of my question, more importantly, I believe, is what kind of process or procedures do we have in place? Why are we using credit cards, from even if they are incidental expenses? Some of them were, you know, higher than others. And why isn't this, or is it, going through the normal procurement channels? It just makes it difficult when you're looking at these transactions. When you see credit card payments, it's in the business world, that's typically not how that's handled.
Thank you. I agree with you on this, and I agree with you on it through the city accumulated transaction report as well. It's very confusing because you do have to go back and actually look at it and see what it is that someone has purchased. We try not to use credit cards for these kind of general purchases. We'll usually use purchase orders. We'll order it from the vendor. A lot of times it's somebody happens to be there and they found it and it's a good deal and they buy it. Mm-hmm. Or in the case of the parking lot stencil, that was something that was ordered, I want to say online. I'm not 100% sure on that. And, of course, the black chairs, that was something that was they found, they needed it, they had a good deal and got it. So I do try as much as possible to discourage the credit card transactions, only because you do have to go back and look at them and see what it is.
Mm-hmm. I guess my comment would be is more than discouraged. They probably just shouldn't be permitted. I think in general that's, you know, typically not the way it should go through the procurement process. Otherwise, you're opening up a credit card and whatever limit that is to the same as a petty cash. And you're also find yourself dealing with suppliers that you may not have appropriate terms and conditions with, you may not have relationships with, that if there's a return warranty, a whole slew of other issues. So maybe part of our recommendation will be eliminate those, at least for Measure Q.
That would be great.
Okay. Any other comments on that?
I have a question. Is there a limit when they use a credit card that they cannot go over?
Each of our credit cards has a limit of $3,000. So if someone were to purchase, you know, chairs, and he doesn't go over the $3,000 limit, he could purchase all the chairs on that.
$3,000 seems like a lot.
Right.
However, I do think that the option of a credit card is important in this society, but maybe with not quite so high a limit.
I was
thinking you were going to say like 500 or something.
No, we do that because a lot of people will use their credit card for travel, especially the firemen. So if they get called out on mutual aid, they're going to use their credit card for travel as well. If they purchase something on their credit card earlier in the month, that could be a problem, and then they're out on a mutual aid and they can't use their credit card because they've gone over their limit, and we don't authorize to go over limits. That's one of the reasons why we do it, and a lot of that does have to do with the mutual aid.
I think that also opens up sometimes a can of worms if somebody's using a personal credit card as opposed to a company or government-issued procurement or travel expense card, that as they accumulate, you know, points or whatever other, then you get into this issue of perception of somebody's benefiting at for expenses being spent by the city. So that's why I'm pretty advocating no credit card use unless it's issued to an appropriate procurement person at the city staff to use for incidental expenses when it's going through the correct process.
And just so you know, we do make every effort to not use personal credit cards. If someone does use a personal credit card for something, we will hopefully it's something very, very small that we can reimburse them back through petty cash, but that's something we really try to discourage.
Susan, what level of employee has a credit card?
There's not a fixed level of employee that has a credit card, because anybody who has the ability to travel or use a credit card, the way the credit cards are, the rules with the credit cards are, is that the person who is making the purchase, their name has to be on the credit card. Used to be where they could have a City of Morro Bay card and they could run in and they could take it in, and not anymore. So we have people down to some of our recreation leaders who have credit cards. About 30 or 40 cards, and match them, depending upon what time the bill arrives.
And you review those so that if there's very infrequent or no usage on those cards, it would be appropriate, or terminated employees, it would be appropriate to cancel them.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, especially with terminated.
To find out why it's really important
to
have credit cards.
No. I just wanted to add something that Susan didn't. Every month, with the credit card statements, each department head has to review all the expenditures of their employees and make sure that they were legitimate expenses.
Yes.
So I get usually three or four credit card statements that I need to review and make sure that they're appropriate expenses. And we talk to our employees about what is appropriate, what isn't appropriate before.
So before she pays the credit card bill, you have to sign off on it?
That's correct.
Okay.
And
there's the control point.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Clerk. Rob Livick, City of Morro Bay Public Services Director.
Steve Knuckles, Fire Chief, Morro Bay. It's been beneficial for us for credit cards for travels for our mutual aid responses, which is we get full reimbursement plus administration fee on top of that. In the past, we used to have out-of-county bags that had City of Morro Bay credit cards, so sometimes we have to buy fuel for the engines, food for the crews. The first 3 or 4 days of a major incident that we may have, or even incidents we have here within the city, we have to purchase stuff very quickly, and we don't have a procurement process for a quick other than a credit card. And today's society, for classes and stuff like that, it makes it so much easier on our clerical staff and so much easier on us as a fire department to be more flexible with that. And the buck stops with me and my fire department. All my fire engineers and fire captains have credit cards in their names, and they're checked monthly.
Well, as an example, Jeff Olson purchased $1,200 worth of something for construction of the new fire station.
Okay. And what year was this?
Do you know about this? Was this a transaction that you would know about prior to telling Jeff to go over and go wherever he went and bought $1,200 worth of what something?
Affirmative. Yes.
Okay, so he wouldn't have done it. And then when he,
correct,
at the end of the month, you would have approved it anyway.
Correct, yes. And with my captains, even though they do work shifts, they work at a level of battalion chief level where they have to take ownership of different projects within the department and or the city. So they're more like middle management for me at this time.
One more question, please. Okay, sorry. Let's go full circle. Part of my question was, what is the process and controls, and how are we going through the procurement process, which I think you've satisfied answers on that. And, yes, I would agree. There is certainly a need for credit cards. I was focusing more on the process associated with them. But I thought originally when you answered the questions on these three, the chairs, the dorm, Olson, McLean, and English, were these their own personal cards outside the scope of this 30 to 40, or were these part of the 30 to 40?
They're part of the city's 30 to 40.
Okay. That's different than, in my opinion, because there are controls and it's going through your process. You can always tighten up that process if you want, but that's different than a personal credit card. That's where I was coming from. Thank you for that clarification.
Any more questions?
Yes.
I have a couple questions still on the same topic.
On the same topic?
Yeah.
Great. Well,
just curiosity, because I'm not familiar with the process. Number one, has there ever been like a major abuse? Like, has someone quit and ran up a credit card and then walked away? Has there ever been any major abuse that you haven't been able to cover, number one? And number two is, would it be appropriate to have different maximums for different types of employees? Like, fire people need a certain maximum. There's no doubt about that from what I'm hearing. but maybe other employees shouldn't have that much of a maximum available to them. But that may not be possible if you're all using the same kind of card, I guess, because they give you a maximum, right?
Yeah, we set the maximum initially and said that we wanted the cards to be at $3,000. That seemed to be the best level for people who are buying. Like our IT guy has a card that has, our information technology manager has a card that has a $10,000 level. Because in order for him to buy computers, and he buys them online, he needs, if he's buying two computers, he's wiped his card out, and or he's coming in saying if he'd only had $3,000 on it, he might not be able to get the full card, you know, amount on the card.
So different cards do have different amounts.
He's the only one that I know of that has a different amount. Everyone else is set at the $3,000 level.
Okay. And you've never had a real problem?
No.
Keep your fingers crossed.
Okay, a couple other little questions. One, thank you, Rob, for the answer on the MUTMIT expenses. They just seemed a little high. And every time I see those, there's usually a sign on them that this is being sponsored.
Stormwater, big thing that we're doing. And go to slowscoopspoop.com, and you can sign up and put a picture of your dog on there and get a bandana.
Oh, okay, great, thanks. It's good for everybody to know. Okay, thank you for clarifying that. Another question. Now, this relates to what we discussed last year and we've discussed, but just for clarification and everybody's benefit, the second $300,000 Department of Agriculture loan, let's discuss that. We had a recommendation last year that be retired. Susan?
The second $300,000 certificate of participation, we received the money for that March-ish. I don't remember exactly the date. And the arrangement that I had with the USDA was at the time that they funded the certificate, because they had to fund it because they had already funded the $51,000 initial draw. So they had to fund it. They took it right back. The arrangement I had with the USDA was that they were going to pay it off at the same time out of the proceeds from the $1.5 million certificate. They didn't do that. I discovered that when the USDA sent us, or actually took out of our checking account, money for the interest for the $300,000 COP. So I've been in contact with the USDA about getting that taken care of before December 31st.
Okay. Thank you. I think that's all I have for right now based on my questions. I may have to follow up with some of the
other questions.
No, okay. Ask most of mine.
Dave?
Just one area. Mr. Livick, I noticed in the storm drain carryover report that it's again grown up to a pretty significant number. And reviewing, I saw that in 2012-13 there was a $70,000 budget amount for study of best management practices for reducing pathogen loading that the city contributes to the bay. And in 2013-14 budget, there was another $70,000 to implement a mandated public outreach program training, and that there was a requirement for having that program going by July of 2013. So I was curious as to the status of those activities.
The waste load allocation plan is still underway. Regional board has pushed back the deadline on it because they're still developing guidelines for that, so we'll continue to carry that amount over, although it may be sucked up into our street repairs, because I remember a year ago we talked about basically putting storm drain and streets into really one pot and manning those as really one project. And so we have a lot of street repairs that need to get done. And perhaps at this time, until the regional board figures out their regulations, we should spend it on things that we know need to get spent right now. And we'll work with the regional board on how we fund our waste load allocation plan when it really becomes reality.
And the public outreach training?
Public outreach training is probably going to cost a little bit less than we originally anticipated. That's required. It's community-based social marketing is what they call it. I gave a flavor of what that is with slow scoop spoop. It's we shame each other into cleaning up after ourselves. So that's right now our public education program. We're working with the other cities to keep those costs down as much as possible. So more likely than not, we will not be spending $75,000 for public education.
Okay, thank you.
To go a little farther with what Dan's comments were, and I realize we're jumping the agenda, but it's okay. You spent about $8,000, a little less than $8,000, on that new phase 2 MS4 stormwater permit requirement that was such a big debate last year.
Yes.
And I think what Dan is concerned about, and I'm equal, and I think everybody is concerned about, is that several years ago, we reversed $380,000 out of the storm drains, and we'll put it back into streets. And we're kind of getting the same way now. You know, in addition to the $70,000 for the stormwater management plan, the next year, the $70,000 for the outreach. And I noticed this fiscal year you budgeted $100,000 without any specific projects. How much of that could we recommend the city council just go back into the streets, with the idea being that when you get ready to actually do a street and discover there's a storm drain problem, you just use the street budget for fixing the storm drain?
Well, that's exactly what we're doing.
It's being carried over from as of June 30th, 2014. Would it be reasonable for us to recommend to the city council that all of that money gets to be transferred back into the pavement management plan?
Either pavement management plan or we'll
something that
some of it's got to be held for our stormwater master plan. Unfortunately, you know, we work based on what council priorities are, and we just haven't had to allocate the resources to allocate to that project.
Well, what would happen, take another position on, what would happen if you went ahead and didn't allocate any for the stormwater management plan, knowing fully well that it has to be done and you will do it, and go ahead and get the streets done, and when the Regional Water Control Board finally makes up their mind, then you can go ahead that year and budget for whatever it needs to do the stormwater management plan. But meanwhile, another block would get done.
Yes, yes. And that's how we've been viewing it based on our discussions last year with this committee, is that it's really all one pot of money to use for streets and storm drains are one program. They're not two separate programs.
Do we need to, do you know that from an accounting point of view, does the city council know that they have extra money? Do they understand that the two have been merged?
I don't think they've been specifically told that,
no.
But I think they understand that storm drain costs can be a function of a street repair, just like water lines and sewer lines can as well. So I think they understand that.
Because the budgeting doesn't necessarily reflect that.
Correct.
So we should figure out some way to save it so it's clear and
yes.
Okay. Kathy, do you have any comments about that?
Well,
this is a big deal.
If they're merged, okay.
I'm not quite clear on how you just merge them, based on the measure that was passed.
Well, they could still they're still spent. About $20,000 a year on what I'm going to refer to as community outreach. Do you
yes.
like that word?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mutt mitts.
Compliance.
Advertising. Flyers that go in the water bill that tell you not to put chemicals in your toilet and things of that
mm-hmm.
nature.
Yeah.
And they would continue to do that.
Okay.
But the storm, they haven't been able to identify any specific storm drains. They did a plan in 1988, and we discussed that 2 or 3 years ago, and the plan, nothing ever happened.
There was no funding component to that
plan.
Right,
there was a plan, but no way to pay for the storm drains. So I guess there's a current plan to do another update on where the bad storm drains are, but you really kind of don't know until you dig the street up, do you?
Right. Or, as with Pacific and Maine,
right,
it exposed itself there with a sinkhole. I would venture to guess most of our storm drains are corrugated metal pipe put in the ground 50 years ago. We could pick almost any one of them and replace it, and it would be money well spent. But what we're doing is trying to associate it with, as much as possible, to tie it together with our paving program and not get those two too much separated. Now, the city's storm drain system is pretty small. We have, you know, a few pieces of culvert here and there, but the main storm drain system doesn't really start until you get pretty close to Maine in the downtown area. North Morro Bay has very little storm drain to speak of. A few culverts going into the open channel creeks, but really no major storm drain system that you would think of in a developed city. And I think I told the group this earlier is, you know, one way to think of it is streets are just storm drains that are convenient to drive in sometimes. And that's the way we operate, is open channel flow in the streets until it gets close to the bay.
Does anybody have any more questions about the 2013-14 transactions?
No, I think I'm okay. No.
Can I get a motion to approve the 2013-14 transactions?
I'll make a motion to approve the transactions as provided to us.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
B2, I believe.
Thank you very much, Chairman Alexander. B2 is the 2013-14 carryover and unallocated cash report. And with this one, the council or the committee needs to make a recommendation on how to spend the unallocated cash and also what to do with the carryover and how they want it to be maybe redistributed.
You have.
I'm okay for now.
I have some recommendations to continue on the conversation with the storm drains. I think what we need to do is figure out a way to write a sentence or two that summarizes what we just discussed over the last 10 minutes for our report to the City Council. Mm.
I think that's a good idea.
Would you like to write that sentence?
Only in conjunction with one other member.
It's a draft. Why don't you and Barbara get together and figure out how to...
Okay.
Wouldn't the key component be $25,000 a year budgeted to storm drain management plan and then the rest
of it? It's actually to community outreach.
Community outreach. Okay.
And we want to defer the storm drain management plan until it's actually... it could be budgeted very close to
requirement date
when it's actually going to be done.
Right. So for clarification, we're not saying we're going to combine both of those accounts, accounting general ledger accounts. We're saying that major expenditures associated with the storm drains in future years, we want to see that budgeting move to street maintenance, but we still want to keep the account open for the storm drains for some outreach and
for mutt mitts and stuff like that. So what I would recommend we do is we take the $140,000 that's carried over from storm drains and transfer that to streets. I suspect it's already internally been done that way, but I don't think that it didn't appear in the current 14-15 budget saying that, you know.
Right.
The other recommendation I would make is I would like to transfer the $11,042 from the summary line item of police SRO and communications, transfer that to unallocated. I have an email from Chief Christie indicating that that was preferable on her point. And the other recommendations I would like to make is that after Mrs. Slayton does the final adjustments on the second payoff of the second USDA loan, if in fact there's any balance in that non-payroll related fire department lines, that all those, any residual money be transferred to unallocated. I'm glad you came back, because I was going to say the fire department was dedicated 2 years ago this month. And I think that the new construction should be finished by now.
Yes and no. Yeah, I'd love to talk about
that. I knew this was good.
Well, as you know, we were pretty fortunate to both get the USDA loan and also the grant. And that loves a lot of the conditions of those two funding sources that we have the American made. And we actually had a hard time finding some items that are American made. Now, I electively chosen not to, there are still some items on our checklist in our construction we haven't completed. But I electively to hold off on some of those because some of those were creature amenities. They weren't operational for operational effectiveness. Such as a good example is our station was designed for to limit the amount of energy needed to heat and cool the building. Was designed to have ceiling fans in it, but we could not find any ceiling fans under American made. So this is some of the stuff that the Measure Q was funding for. So there's still items that I electively have not purchased yet, being very conscious and trying to be physical or financially responsible. For this, I know there's still some funds. I don't know the exact total, just very small. And so, yes, there's still items that are on the list that through the years I'm going to install them in the station. They were part of the construction plan. You know, one of the things that with our dispatch change that we had, we actually saved money because off the Measure Q because our rip and run station that was part of the construction, we held off. And actually now with being more part of the regional approach, we actually saved money. They didn't have to use Measure Q funds to do the infrastructure for that system. So, yes, construction's done, but there's still check items that way the building is designed that we haven't completed. It's because of the American made concept.
Well, there's somehow we have four different expense lines set up, three non-payroll lines and one payroll line. And if you take them all and add them and put them all together, some have been over, some have been under over the years. Right. And basically, all that money, the prior money is gone.
Correct.
And so what I would recommend you do is if you have a new construction thing, that you go through the normal budgeting process for Measure Q, you know, which is going to happen in another 3 or 4 months, and actually put something in there that says, you know, be specific.
Totally agree. And I've already made communications with Susan with that for next year's proposal for items such like that.
So you don't have any problems with what we're recommending?
No.
Okay. Terrific. Does anybody else have any recommendations on the carryover?
No.
Can I have a motion to approve item B? B2?
I move that we approve item B2.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Item B3, Susan.
Thank you. This is the review of the fiscal year-to-date 2014 transactions, and the committee can take a look at the transactions and let us know if there are any of them that they think need to be changed.
I'm fine right now.
Kathy, do you have anything for 2000?
No, I don't at this point.
This the first 5 months of this fiscal year. The only one I have, and I was actually a little surprised about it, was that there's a transaction for $9,800 that I questioned just because I didn't know what it was. And it's for those signs that go below speed limit, fixed speed limit signs that are radar controlled. that tell you that, you know, when the sign says it's 25 miles an hour and then down below it says you're going 70, those signs. And I questioned that. I didn't question it. I was just curious where they were going because I thought it was kind of an important thing. And Mr. Leibig sent me an email last night telling me that they were miscoded and weren't even major Q, and I thought that was a perfect legitimate thing.
Well, they are going to helpfully help improve the gap time getting out of kind of the Radcliffe neighborhood area so that maybe people will drive the speed limit as they're going northbound on Main Street under the freeway overpass. And Radcliffe intersects right there. And one of the issues there is getting out of that neighborhood sometimes. And there's sufficient sight distance there. It's just sometimes the gaps aren't long enough. And based on a speed survey, it's due to speeding along there. Well, we can't have an officer parked there 24/7 to write tickets. We're not putting speed bumps in. Caltrans doesn't want to put it. It's in Caltrans's right of way also. No stop signs on Main Street there. Traffic engineer suggested, I'm not wearing my traffic engineer hat, suggested that we install the driver feedback signs there. So we'll have one on Main Street and then one on Quintana as you come down the hill towards that kind of free right turn there going on to Main Street, because we do get a lot of coming down that hill. It's sometimes rather difficult to drive 25 miles an hour there. So that's where those two signs will go. We collected traffic impact fees for that intersection when back in the day when we had intersection-specific traffic impact fees, and we need to spend those funds because we're running up against a time limit. We may, if we don't spend them, we need to give them back to the development. So okay. We're spending those funds.
You did say that it was an accounting error in terms of paying for those. But does anybody have any I think those things work. Does anybody have any objections to why wouldn't that be a legitimate major Q expense?
It would be. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of things that would be a legitimate expense. We just have sufficient quantities. So,
The staff and city council have to budget for those. But I don't,
Perhaps at another location.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Not next
maybe
week.
South Main is another area that we do get higher speeds.
I would be
speeds.
Surprised if you could walk around down south, the 300 block of South Main with a hat and probably collect enough money to buy those things.
How do we apply for them for our own neighborhood?
They're probably not appropriate for local residential streets.
How about streets that the fire engines and the police go down? I'm fine with them going fast, but everybody else seems to think they have the right to.
There are certain streets that they work on, certain streets that they don't work on. Usually collectors and arterials they're more appropriate for than local residential streets. And we have other techniques in our tool bag that we'd like to roll out for local residential streets. We do have a petition program now for stop signs. So if you do want a stop sign and you can get your neighborhood to agree with you, we will install a stop sign on unwarranted intersections.
But these speed limit things are.
Yeah.
I know that. I think they work.
I agree.
And the police has a trailer. PD has a trailer mounted one that we move around. And perhaps we should talk about when we do our major Q allocation is maybe another portable one or two that we can move around town.
You want to put real fear into people? Just have a sign that says we're proud of our new camera.
Does anybody have any other recommendations or thing for item this year?
I do.
Oh, good.
Okay. On the school resource officer, last year we had a long discussion on that. The percentage that the Measure Q was 25%, 75%, and then we were going to make a recommendation after the Prop 30 passed and that maybe, or look at what some other cities are doing and that we don't you know, continue with the scope creep of the 63-70%, whatever it is. So Susan or someone, I don't see Chief Christie here, but Susan, can you address where are we on that for the next year, and what kind of negotiations have we done with the school district?
For 14-15, the school district is going to pay 50-50. And they pay 50-50 of whatever it costs. So we do the best to make our budget. We look at what we know and mm-hmm. we are close to knowing. So we know the salary of the SRO, and then we also know the corresponding benefits to that salary. Mm-hmm. If the SRO winds up having some overtime, we don't always know that. Mm-hmm. But the school district pays for 50% of it no matter what. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how that one works out. We haven't started the negotiations for the 15-16 year. That likely won't go on until maybe March, April.
Okay. I think that's much more reasonable than it was, you know, in the past.
Yes.
So I just wanted to know what was done on that. Go ahead.
I guess I just have a motion, right, for item B3 to approve the transactions for the first 5 months of this fiscal year.
Move to approve it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Then the last item is just a discussion about our report.
And setting the date.
For
approving these minutes.
Oh, okay. I think our report this year looks like it's going to be pretty short.
Okay.
And the big one is this combination of streets and storm drains, and you and Kathy are going to get together and mm-hmm. write a paragraph on that. Mm-hmm. And I'll go ahead and just list a couple things that each one of the departments purchased so people know how the money was being spent. I mean, it's pretty simple. Kathy, do you have any other things you'd like to add to the report?
No, not at this point.
Dan?
No, thank you.
No, I think as long as it encompasses some of what we discussed, that's perfect. Let me make sure that we're clarifying. Last year, Homer, we did a memorandum to the city council members and the
right.
city manager, and we broke it down by the four main departments' line items, what they spent, what we recommended, and then we used that subsequently as a basis for a abridged presentation to city council. Is that what you're thinking and everybody's thinking
yes.
would work for this year? Okay,
yes.
That'd be perfect.
Except it'll be one page this year instead of two pages.
That's fine.
Do we know what the date for that will be yet? Have we got a goal?
Mid-year is going to happen on the second meeting of January, and without a calendar in front of me, I'm going to take a wild guess and say it's 27th.
Okay, so that's the second Tuesday?
Second Tuesday in January. Yeah, that's the right date.
The second meeting.
Fourth Tuesday.
Sorry. That's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were thinking the same thing, just not speaking the same language.
So you're estimating if we do present to the city council, it would be January 27th, is that
yes,
what you're saying?
Yes, I would suggest that.
Okay. There's something I'd like to add to the report. Last year, at the city council meeting when they reviewed our report, the majority of the city council discussion was regarding our recommendation to reverse the $70,000 for the unfunded EPA mandate for the stormwater, for that new Phase 2 MS4 stormwater permit. At the conclusion of their meeting, Mayor Irons and Council Member Christine Johnson approved Council Member Smuckler's request for a future agenda item to discuss whether or not Measure Q should be paying for unfunded federal and state mandates. I don't believe that discussion's ever taken place. And I would like to add a sentence to our report suggesting that that discussion happen before the budget process for 2015-16.
Excellent. Good.
Do they agree with that?
So let me clarify. We would recommend that a discussion take place.
That's all we can do.
That's all we can do. Whether Measure Q is an appropriate source for unfunded federal mandates, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other thing I'd like to see is that Mr. Woods, 4 or 5 years ago, 3 years ago maybe, we went ahead and we bought some signs that were to be put out for street construction work. That's it. Nice sign that says Measure Q. The last couple of years I haven't seen those, and maybe I've just missed them, but I'm hoping that when you get ready to do the streets this year that you sprinkle those out so the people get to see where they're... I mean, aren't you going to spend $1.4 million this year or something like that? A lot of money.
Yeah, close to $1.4 million.
Right.
We're working with a contractor right now.
Right. And so, I think that people really would really enjoy seeing how the money they voted for to tax themselves is being spent. So it'd be great to be sure that those are out and spread around. Does anybody else have any comments?
I have a question, and you can just tell me if I'm off the wall. But things like the bridge that has been trying to get through so the bicyclists can cross instead of walking through the dirt all the time. My understanding is that because the proposals came back over what they were expecting, now we're in another delay on that bridge. Is there any reason why a request to Measure Q couldn't be made for something like that? Wouldn't that fall under safety, street maintenance, I don't know anything, but for the funds,
for example, I think the fire department has fewer funds that are needed from us this year or this coming year, right? Because
I have been a couple requests, but it'd be fewer probably.
Okay. To kind of maybe make up that shortfall or something so we can get this bridge built?
Well, they did allocate $74,500 for this year out of Measure Q. They were going to allocate another $250,000, but for some reason that got changed.
Well, the cost
because you found another source of funding, right?
Yes. We were awarded another more grant money from the California Transportation Commission. So a few weeks ago, we did receive bids in, and they exceeded the budget for construction of the bridge. So we made some design changes to it, mainly on the footing system and not requiring 5 years of maintenance for the hydroseeding. Didn't figure we needed weeding out there for 5 years in the sand dunes. We made some changes. And we received bids in, and we're going to recommend to City Council to award a project that is within budget this next Tuesday. Good. In fact, it's already the staff report is already on the street. So we're recommending award to Cal Portland for right around $1.1 million for that bridge construction.
But to sort of answer your question, I'm going to go on the assumption that the city staff, that Mrs. Slayton has always made known to the city of staff heads that there is some surplus in Measure Q. And that I just can't believe that they wouldn't ask for it.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, right. I mean, so I've got a feeling if these bids would have come in 50 or 75 or 100 hand higher than Mr. Livick initially anticipated, that in addition, on this council meeting agenda, there would be an item to go ahead and use another $100,000 for Measure Q. I'm assuming that. Does anybody else have any other comments other than figuring out what kind of date we have?
I'm fine.
Oh, yes.
I do have one recommendation for your letter, and that you make a recommendation on how to allocate the unallocated funds. If you want.
You can't do that.
You can do a recommendation. I mean, there's $188,000 now with the extra $11,000 added in. So if you were to say that you suggest that
are
it's
you talking a broad recommendation or a specific, like
a broad
category recommendation?
Our previous attorney was pretty adamant that
our charter was to watch.
That's not wasn't in the legislation.
Okay.
But that's really their job is to recommend how to spend the money.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm not so sure I agree with that. I think a suggestion or recommendation it is better than just being silent and then coming back saying, no, we can't do that. Or I think a general suggestion, just like some of these others, I mean, the unfunded federal mandates, we're going to make a recommendation that a discussion take place. We're not telling them what to do. Mm-hmm. We're going to make a recommendation. You have X amount, 200K and unallocated. For example, here are some things you may consider that the Measure Q committee would most likely be receptive to. I don't have a problem with that.
I think it's clearly defined that we're going to be receptive to things that have to do with police, fire, storm drains, and streets, and that the $118,000 or $188,000 or whatever it is will be just be part of the budget process for next year. And that's the way it's been for the last 6 or 8 years, is that accumulation has always carried over and added to the available funds that were budgeted for the next fiscal year, unless some emergency takes place mid-year, you know, that sort of thing. And rather than saying we recommend that it go to streets, there may be another priority that they know about that we don't. And, you know, I just think that that's something between the staff and the city council, and not something that... Anyway, that's my personal opinion, but please...
I'm not hard bent on it if, you know, there's...
We have a new attorney. Should we get a new opinion?
Well, he's $175 an hour.
Oh, forget it. So, is there any conflict of interest if one of us says to somebody, hey, why don't you ask us for this money? I mean, is that the
not
sort of
as long
not
as three of us don't say
as
that?
Long as you don't go as a member of the committee, you just go as a private citizen.
Yeah, right, that's what I'm.
Sure, no, absolutely not. Two of you can go and beat them on the head,
okay.
As a matter of fact.
Well, as private citizens, I guess all five of us could go then.
Not together.
Not together. Not together.
All right.
Okay.
Does anybody have anything else?
No.
The only thing we need to decide is when do we want to meet again, and can we do that by email? Unless other people have it.
Good.
Yeah. Can we do that
by
email?
Yep. I'll send out some dates.
That would be great, and it would be great if somewhere between now and whatever date that is, that you and Mr. Lyman could get together and sort of figure out a dollar amount that we're going to recommend we transfer, big round numbers.
We can do that.
Okay. Great. I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
All in favor?